Good afternoon, and the Transportation Conference Committee will come to order. And if everyone had a wonderful Mother's Day weekend, fishing open, or all of that, we are ready to get back to work. And with that, we will, today's agenda really will be pretty straightforward. We're looking at some of the, again, provisions that really were identical with some technical corrections to them that we will have our staff walk through. These identical provisions were in both House File 4, the Omnibus Bill, and Senate File 1647. So with that, we'll start with the, I guess in our books, it's R44, the drainage right-of-way onto right-of-way. And would our staff like to speak to any technical issues there?
Mr. Chair and members, the language between the House and Senate on this drainage provision, this is a city adding cities to permits for drainage under right-of-way. The language is identical. The difference between the House and Senate is with respect to the effective date. The House language, you'll see this in a number of the provisions that we're looking at discussing today. The House language has an effective date of July 1 of 2015, and that's the default effective date of bills that have appropriations in them. And the comparison against Senate File 1647 is with an effective date of August 1, and similar to the House language, there's a statutory default on effective dates. If an effective date isn't provided and it's not an appropriations bill, the default effective date will be August 1 of 2015. And that'll be the case for a number of these. So July 1 versus August 1.
Mr. Chair, do you have any comments on that?
I do not, Mr. Chair. Okay. And I have no strength of feeling about the effective date.
I don't know if my members do or not. August 1, July 1. So just to kind of point folks to the right place, we're looking at page R44, section 9. Of course, on the House side, the comparable is in Senate File 1647, our omnibus policy bill. So those are lines 30.25 to 31.7.
Any questions from members? Any comments on the effective date? Just a comment on the appropriations date, July 1st, so the start of appropriations would be at that point, so that's what the where the effective date came into play.
Right. All right, so Mr. Chair, unless the public has an opinion, I would, I don't see anyone leaping to the table. Mr. Chair, I would move House language for Section 9 on page R44.
Senator Dibble moves Section 9, 30.25 through 31.7. Any questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. That motion prevails. And moving down our list, we have the provision on R80 for a number of headlights, motorcycle headlamps. Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair and members, the House language starting on page R80 is section 24. That's it. Line 39.9 that continues onto the next page to 39.18. And this provision would permit motorcycles to be equipped with up to 4 headlamps. It also makes some technical changes in cross-references and updated phrasing. And the language between the House and Senate on this is identical.
And Mr. Chair, thank you. I think I was not at my own committee when this was adopted. I don't actually remember what what problem this solves. Does anyone remember exactly what this is about? Just for the record and just to remind me. I'm sure I'm complete here. Yeah, it was for us it was Senator Hoffman. Yeah, it was not there when this was presented.
I think that was, the chief author in that was Representative Schoen, but Representative Howe, you had a part in that as well. Would you like to speak to that?
Well, I think the issue was instead of just having two lamps, I think the issue was there was some motorcycles out there that are produced that have more than two lamps. So it was the idea is to allow up to four lamps because that's the two headlights and two fog lamps, and you'd still be in compliance with the statute. And I think that's the reason why we've got models being produced out there quite frequently with more than two headlamps.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Kent.
And that was the same discussion that we had when we heard this on the Senate side.
So, Mr. Chair, I have a motion.
Mr. Chair.
I'll move House language on Section 24, lines 39.9 to 39.18.
Senator Dibble will move Section 24, 39.9 to 39.17. Any comments or questions?
39.8.
Oh, thank you very much. Excuse me, corrected to 39.18. Any other comments or questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. We move to discussion on aerodynamic tails on trucks. And that is R83. That is Section 29. Mr. Burris, any technical corrections there?
One.
Or differences?
Oh. Mr. Chair and members, the language does have a couple of small technical differences between the House and Senate. And this is the provision permitting or establishing a longer total length or a length limit that doesn't include the aerodynamic devices that are put on the backs of trucks to provide for more aerodynamics, I guess. The Senate language includes numbering in the list of the items that are included as scenarios where the length exclusion would come into play. That might be a bit of a clarification in comparison to the House language, just for readability. The House language excludes that. And there's also, again, the technical difference on the effective date, which is August 1 for the Senate language, July 1 for the House language.
Okay. So. Senator Dibble? Chair?
Sure. Mr. Chair, what I would propose is that we amend the House language so that it's more reflective of the Senate language. And how that reads is, if you look at line 42.4, we would insert a 1 inside of parentheses. We would put a semicolon after the word, the first word, length, and then after the subsequent and, we would put a 2 inside of parentheses. So it would read, including 1 total vehicle length, semicolon, and 2 length of a semi-trailer or trailer. And then with that change, I would move the House language. I think the effective date of July 1 is fine.
All right. Senator Dibble moves Section 29, lines 41.31 to 42.22, being amended to add in line 42.4, 1 in parentheses in front of total vehicle length, and 2 in parentheses in front of length of a semi-trailer or trailer.
Mr. Chair.
And the semicolon after.
Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, the end of that section is 42.5, so it stops at the bottom of page R83.
Yeah, I think trying to
the
sneak
top
in.
Of the next page is the beginning of an
trying to sneak in overweight trucks.
Mr. Burris?
Oh, sorry, Mr. Chair.
Can you speak when called upon, please? Thank you very much. Let's try this again. Senator Diffel moves section 29, 41.31 through 42.5 as amended. Any questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion prevails. Motion is adopted as amended.
All right.
We move on to electronic billboards, R92. Mr. Burris, now you can speak.
Now, Mr. Chair?
Now.
Mr. Chair and members, the language here is in two sections, and it starts on the House side on page R92, and that's section 34, and it's followed on to page R93, section 35. So it runs from 44.7 to 45.7, and this is language that defines electronic advertising device and permits, in effect, permits billboards that have static electronic or digital content that changes no more frequently than once every 6 seconds on roadways that are or on areas that are visible from the trunk highway right-of-way. And this language is identical between the House and Senate.
So, Mr. Chair, I'll move the House language for sections 34 and 35.
Senator Dibble moves section 44.7 through 45.7. Any questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. That motion prevails. Section is adopted. Next in our line is federal out-of-service orders. That would be R100 in your books, members. Section is there. Section 42. Mr. Burris, any technical differences?
Mr. Chair and members, the language is identical again here, and it's sections 42 and 43. One is for the first of those two sections. 42 refers to intrastate, and then it's the same prohibition for interstate on section 43. The House and Senate language just differs with respect to the effective date. Again, it's July 1 for the House language and August 1 for the Senate language.
So, Mr. Chair, I will again move the House language.
Okay. Senator Dibble moves section 42 and section 43, line items 47.16 through 47.30. Any questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Both sections are adopted. And we have overdimensional load escort certificate, R119.
Have it marked.
He wrote the wrong section of the balance. It's 46.
Yeah, but the one we were just talking about.
Yeah, 46. So section 46.
Section 46, you're correct.
Oh, 46.
Thank you. Members, we are in section 46. Yes, we have adopted already section 47. So section 46 is our overdimensional load escort. Mr. Burris, are there any technical differences here?
Again, Mr. Chair and members, it's July 1st effective date for the House language, August 1st for the Senate language. Otherwise, it's identical language.
So, Mr. Chair, I'll move the House language.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Dibble moves section 46, lines 48.25 through 48.31. Questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Section is adopted. Okay. Members, two that may have been not on our posting, but just were dismissed. We have Lockwood Paul County Turnback, R129. Sections 58.
Burris. Mr. Chair and members, on R129, it's on the House side, section 58. And it is, again, identical language between the House and Senate provisions, with except that the effective date is July 1 for the House and August 1 for the Senate.
Good, thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the...
Can you say the
Mr. Burris, do you know what section the Senate language is in, and 1647?
Mr. Chair and Senator Dibble, it's section 57 in Senate file 1647. And
all right, very good.
That is on page 33 of the...
Yeah, we've got it. Thanks.
Language.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the House language.
Thank you. Senator Dibble moves section 58, line item 54.3 to 54.12. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. That section is adopted. And last one here in the Senate files, mini trucks, the sunset repeal, that's R127. That's section 54, I believe. Where? Oh, okay. Yeah, it's section 54, would be line items 53.1 through 53.5. 53.6, thank you.
Any technical differences there?
Mr. Chair and members, the Senate language in Senate file 1647 is section 51 on page 30, if you're following along in that provision, and the provisions are identical between the House and Senate.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, see if one of my members wants to move this one. I think that's a good one for Senator Schmidt.
We'll have edit.
All right.
Any comments? Would you like to move that?
I'd like to move it, Mr. Chair.
All right. Senator Schmidt moves section 54, line items 53.1 through 53.6. Any questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay?
No.
That motion prevails. And section 54 is adopted.
Got to stay consistent, Mr. Chair.
There you go.
Even though I'm representing... my bill, and have to supposed to have institutional loyalty. Can't bring myself to do that one.
Okay. The next. Next several are similar with some policy difference, so we want to walk through these as well. The first one is targeted group business programs. That is on R52. And I guess either staff can speak to the differences. Mr. Burris, you want to start?
Mr. Chair and members, the House language is on R52, and it starts on section 15. There are actually three sections, so it continues from 33.10 through to 34.15. Sections 15 and 16 have similar language for two different but related programs, and both of them lay out a modification to the subcontracting with respect to each program, the small targeted group business, and then followed by the veteran-owned small business program. And the language on the House side establishes a waiver if good faith effort has been shown, and there's a bit of a difference between the House and Senate in both the phrasing and kind of the approach of the behind the language.
Okay. Would the department like to speak to this provision?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Eric Burdine with MnDOT Government Affairs.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, the language was amended in the Senate to reflect some concerns that were raised by the State Bar Association. And so the department doesn't view the differences as really substantial, but the Bar Association requested some technical corrections for clarification. And so that was amended on the Senate side, but unfortunately their requests came very late in the committee hearing process, and so we didn't have time to incorporate those on the House side. And so the department prefers the Senate language that's in the Senate transportation policy bill.
Thank you for your testimony. We're just trying to see if we can get copies of the Senate file in front of us. It is in the back of the book?
Okay. I don't know about theirs.
So we can keep going.
Okay. Do we have any comments or comments from staff on the Senate side in regards to the policy differences?
That was good. So start from the top.
Mr. Chair, my comment is, and excuse me if I'm repeating what Mr. Burris said because I didn't hear everything, but the House language retains the possibility that the prime contractor can obtain a subcontracting goal waiver in regards to participation in the Small Targeted Group Business Program and the Veteran-Owned Small Business Program. And the Senate language removes language that relates to waivers and requires the prime contractor to either meet the goal or demonstrate good faith efforts, which the commissioner has to define in some objective fashion.
And that refers to section, so our section 14
and 15.
House, and 15. House section 15 and 16. And Mr. Rudine said he likes the Senate language. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair, that's correct. The Senate language was amended to reflect some concerns that were brought to us very late in the process by the State Bar Association. And so the department doesn't really have a preference one way or the other, but I think to reflect the agreement that we reached with the State Bar Association, we would prefer the Senate language.
And Mr. Dean, how does the contracting community feel? Sorry, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, the Associated General Contractors agrees with the changes that were recommended by the State Bar Association, so I don't want to speak for them, but I think it's fair to say that they would prefer the Senate language as well.
All right. Members, you feel well informed enough?
What is the language?
Okay, we can wait a few minutes. So. Oh. Okay. Sounds like I want to.
If I give this to you guys, you share.
So, members, it's on page 8. You can look at lines 8.9, section 14, and lines 8.25, section 15. And kind of the key difference is on line 8.17.
Well, the language above there has been stricken, crossed out, eliminated. The new language starts on line 8.17 for section 14, where it says, meet the goal to demonstrate good faith efforts to meet the goal and establish a procedure for evaluating good faith efforts. And then likewise, you see down on 8.31 for the veteran-owned small business, meet the goal or demonstrate good faith efforts, line 8.31, 8.32. And then more language about evaluating good faith efforts.
And
the next section as well, I guess the same thing, section 16.
Mr. Chair, remove the Senate language from Senate File 1647 from 8.9 through 9.12.
Representative Sanders moves Section 14, 15, and 16, line items 8.9 through 9.12. Questions or comments from members? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion prevails. Those sections are adopted. All members now have the Senate language together? Okay, thank you. So we'll move on to R81, that's commercial vehicle inspection reporting. It's R81 in the House File 4. It is sections 23 through 25 in the Senate file, and that would be on pages 13. Through 15.
This is the daily inspection and the pre-trip trip inspection stuff.
Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair and members, the language is largely identical between the House and Senate. There is a difference in section 25 on the House side, that's on R81, and this is section 23 on the Senate side. It's a rephrasing of the first sentence. So you can see in the House language on 39.21, there's a stricken phrase, and part of that is reestablished later in a subsequent sentence at the completion of each day's work. And in essence, in the Senate language, that current law language isn't stricken and moved. If I recollect correctly, Mr. Chair and members, the Department of Public Safety had requested this modification that was made in the to be the version that you see on the House language. So I don't know, they might have further comment on it. And then, Mr. Chair, the other two sections are identical between the House and Senate.
Okay. And we have a representative from the department, please. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the committee record. And
Mr. Chair, my name is Shelley Schroff. I'm Lieutenant Colonel with the State Patrol. And the information you were just given is correct. Department of Public Safety would prefer the House language.
Any questions from members?
Sorry,
Mr. Chair. All right. Do it. Senator Jensen.
I think I'm just missing something, but they don't have to report it anymore. They just have to inspect it. There's no requirement to write it down or. Oh, it's further later down. That's what I'm missing.
Yeah. They just dropped the.
Over. Clarification?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so Mr. Chair, I'll move the Senate language for these, what is it, three sections? I mean House.
Okay.
Listen to what I mean, not what I
said. Senator Dibble moves section 25 through 27. That's line items 39.19 through 41.16, correct? Any other questions from members?
Is it 41.16?
No, it's just 16.
41.16. Okay, yeah, okay, great. Yes, that's right.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Those sections are adopted. Now we'll move to safe routes to school funding. That is R96, Section 36 in the House file, and Section 38 in the Senate file, which is... is page 21 or 22? Page 22 in the Senate file. Mr. Burris, differences there?
Mr. Chair and members, there is a reworking of the requirement. Both the House and Senate cover the same basic requirements around a city, county, or town being required to establish regulations of subdivisions that would provide for safe routes to school infrastructure as a requirement of receiving state safe routes to school aid. On the House side, which is on R96, Section 36, the local unit of government would be required to have authorized on or after the effective date that this would go into effect the regulations for a subdivision, so that a local unit of government would have to have its regulations in place in order to receive safe routes to school aid. And then there are a couple of differences on the Senate side, if Ms. Berzovsky wanted to go into it, but the essence of that is a timing where there's kind of a delayed effective date of June 1, 2016, and there's also a requirement around the infrastructure expansion development having been in process for the local units of government.
Any comments?
Mr. Chair, I think Mr. Burris explained it correctly, that the Senate version gives the local unit until June of 2016 to adopt those regulations, so it could continue to receive Safe Routes grants even before that date if it had not adopted these regulations yet. And yes, it only applies in the Senate language to a local unit where there's expansion or development in process.
Thank you. Representative Howe, this was your bill, I believe, in your provision. Would you like to speak to this?
Yes, Mr. Chair. And my comments to this is I would be amenable to accept the... these are dead. I accept the...
I would to accept the later date as far as inclusion and implementation date to the June 16 to give them a chance to do it to possibly get ready. But I guess when it comes to whether they're in process, I truly believe that it only takes a couple of months to adopt that an ordinance. 90 days would probably be the maximum time you could to adopt an ordinance going through all the planning procedures. So I believe that in order to be eligible for the grants, they definitely should have these ordinances in place, because you might not have development in progress, but you may have redevelopment in progress that doesn't have safe routes to schools. And I believe before the whole state pitches in to fix the issue that you don't have safe routes to schools, that you should actually adopt an ordinance that is forward-looking, and so we don't have to come back later on and fix an issue that you should have your local government should have fixed in the first place. And that's why I believe that a change in the effective date I would go along with, but I don't believe the Senate language is the correct language. So I would move to modify the House language on the effective date to, what is it, on the Senate side?
June 1st, 2016.
June 1, 2016.
Representative Howe has moved to amend the House language in Section 36 to include the effective date of June 1st, 2016, but to leave the rest of the language the same as the House. Questions or comments from members?
Just to be clear, Mr. Chair, yeah, I was going to ask. So we basically would insert a new line showing an effective date of June 1st, 2016, basically.
That is my understanding.
Right.
Representative Powell, correct?
Right.
Correct. Yes, sir. Mr. Burrow,
yeah, and I guess clarification.
So, Mr. Chair, members, I have as the amendment language, page 45, delete line 13, and insert June 1, 2016, period.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Pardon me? Please repeat that.
Mr. Chair, page 45, delete line 13, and insert June 1, 2016, period.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chair.
Yes,
Senator. If I could just ask my counsel, because I'm not really understanding this as well as I should. What would be the effect of leaving out, I think what happens, the effect of the Howe motion is that we would drop out infrastructure expansion and development is in process. What is the practical real world effect of that?
Mr. Chair, if I recall the discussion surrounding the that language in the Senate Transportation Committee, the idea I think that the Senate was trying to get to was to apply this requirement only to local units that have growth. So that if there's a city, county, or town that is not experiencing growth, it would not have to go through the process of adopting an ordinance, but they would still be eligible for Safe Routes grants.
All right. Mr. Chair, I support the Howell.
Okay.
I'm persuaded by Senator, by Representative Powell. So I will support.
All right. Representative Howe renews his motion then to approve Section 36, line 45.8 through 45.13 as amended, with the effective date being June 1st, 2016. Any other questions from members? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Section 36 is adopted. And, okay. Mr. Chair, the next one with the opt-outs on the TAB membership, that was not included in the list, but just an oversight there, so we'd go to that. That would be section R, or on page R-122 in the House, and R-122, section 51. And page 29, section 50 on the Senate file. Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair and members, there is a policy difference between the House and Senate on this. On the House language, what is being changed is the addition of an appointee to the TAB, the Met Council's advisory board. The appointee would be appointed by the Suburban Transit Association, and in the House language, one of the appointees by the council would be replaced. So the total number of appointees wouldn't increase, but one of the two representing public transit would be appointed by the Suburban Transit Association. In the Senate language, there's an additional appointee, so that the total TAB board size would be increased by one, and again, the appointee would come from the Suburban Transit Association. Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Petersburg, the House number stays the same for the count of the PAT board.
Ms. Bordowski, do you have any comments, questions?
Members on the House side, I believe we kind of ran out of time here and would have had to send that to another committee. Otherwise, we would have adopted basically the Senate language. So that would be my recommendation. Any questions or from members? It's on page 29, section 50, starting on 29.27.
Mr. Chairman, may I just approve the Senate language for that particular section?
Representative Petersburg moves section 50, line item 29.27 to 30.27. Any other questions from members? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. That section is adopted. And finally, we have the MnDOT cost participation policy. That's on R129 in the House side by side. And then it's section 60, which is page 34.
Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair and members, the House and Senate language is substantially similar. There's a couple of technical differences, and the House language includes an additional sentence that starts on page 54.20, and that's on the policy flexibility for unique projects and locations should be provided for if there's a lower total project cost. That sentence isn't included in the Senate language. And then there's a difference with respect to a comma, and the head note is different. That's just technical.
So the sentence, Mr. Chair, is...
Yes, Senator Dillon.
The policy should provide and include sufficient flexibility for unique projects and locations if doing so results in a lower total project cost. What's not to love? Sounds great. That's in the House language. But I probably care about the comma. Where's the comma, Mr. Burks?
Okay. There was also a question on the date. Mr. Peterson, would you like to speak to that? Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the committee record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Scott Peterson from MnDOT. Yeah, we did raise an issue about the date of completing and adopting the revised cost participation policy. Because the cost participation policy obviously is governs the cost shares of projects when there's a cooperative project that involves a local government, whether it's a city or county. And MnDOT just went through a process of updating the cost participation policy, and the new one went into effect in February of 2014. And I don't remember exactly how long it took to complete that update, but it was, I think, in the neighborhood of 2 years, because there's a lot of interaction with representatives of these other units of government, and there are a lot of different sections in the cost participation policy itself. And so we just thought, in order to do justice to the requirements in this provision, that a longer time would be needed. And I I think our letter suggested March of 2016 as a date. That would, I think, give us plenty of time to go through this process.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson.
So, Mr. Chair, what I would propose is House language with the Senate comma and a revised effective date of March 1st, 2016.
Thank you. Senator Dibble moves Section 59, line item 54.13 through 54.23 with the effective date now in line item 54.22 as March 1st, I guess, of 2016. Any questions or comments?
And a comma after government on line 18.
We can't forget the comma.
Yeah.
On 54.18. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay? That motion prevails. That section is adopted. So, members, we're going to move on and really go outside of everyone's comfort zone and actually look at options that were not in one bill or the other and see if we can get agreement. And we will start with, on the Senate file, the Senator Dibble's favorite, breast cancer awareness special plate, R71. This is in the Senate omnibus bill, and that would be R71, Section 3. Starting in 76.15 through 77.5. Any comments on that provision?
Mr. Chair, again, I'm the chair of Senate Transportation Committee and chair, co-chair with you of this conference committee, and I understand my responsibility to my institution and my chamber and my bill, but in the spirit of Bernie Leader, these specialty plates are a very, very tough pill for me to swallow. I'll just also say for the record, this is a Senator Rosen initiative that was brought into committee without the benefit of a bill, so it was brought in by amendment. By Senator Peterson, just to recite the history of this particular provision. I think we have a lot of specialty plates, of course, mostly relating to military and colleges and to raise some money for natural resources initiatives, Vespa Centennial, which I'm complicit in, by the way. But starting with the golf plates, we're starting now down the path of every charity under the sun now wanting to try to raise money off of the plates, and I think it really, really clutters up the plates, and it's gonna be a bad path that we start stepping down. So my members love these plates, though. They roll me on them every time. So yeah.
Senator Kent?
I was just gonna say, Mr. Chair, that it was not unanimous, so
with that, I will move Section 3 on the Senate language, 76.15 through 77.5. Wait, I'm sorry. Oh, is that correct? Yeah, that is correct. Okay, 77.5. Any other questions or comments?
No.
Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair and members that you're aware, the fee for this special plate, you can see on 76.20, is set at $12.50. That is the same fee as other provisions located in the Senate-only language. So typically the fee has been set at $10 for special place, just that the committee is aware that $12.50 reflects in part the change from $10 to $12 and the extension of the issuance period from, I believe, 7 to 10 years for special place.
So, yeah, Mr. Chair, this is that issue around Department of Driver and Vehicle Services contracting with the Department of Corrections for the manufacture of the plate using highway user tax distribution funds. Mm-hmm. We back that out and require that they be using the special revenue funds, the vehicle services funds, for this purpose. But we need to increase the fee for the plates. We slow down the replacement cycle. So this $12.50 presumes that. So until a decision is made on that question, you might want to modify the fee to $10. Because that's a pretty significant policy change that you probably want to discuss mm-hmm. and decide whether or not to accept.
I appreciate that, Senator Dibble, and I think we will save that for a future discussion.
So you can move the plate with modifying the fee to $10.
Or
not move the
plate. Representative Petersburg.
Well, I'm just wondering if we could, since the fees for specialty plates tend to all be uniform, is there a way which we can modify this just to indicate whatever that normal price is we would put in place? Just a thought.
Okay. Senator Dibble, I believe we will take your advice.
All right.
Being very good advice, and we'll move to amend line 76.20 to reduce the fee to $10. And with that, I would move section 3, 76.15 through 77.5 as amended. Any comments, questions, or all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay?
No.
The motion prevails. That section is adopted.
I only heard two no.
Did you like division?
you are free to vote. Don't do.
We need clarification here. By a show of hands?
Yes.
All those
I'd like to ask a question, if I may, before you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Earhart.
Is that that $12.50 an increase? And so the current fee is $10?
It was, but the motion was to move it to $10. Okay. So that it was not an increase.
That's what I understand.
Yep.
I have one other question, Mr. Chairman, on 76.34. What is it they're not subjected to?
Mr. Earhart.
Mr. Chair, Representative Earhart, there's a statutory provision on plate proposals that's what this cross-reference refers to. And under that provision, a plate proposal has to show a couple things with a business plan. Pay an initial fee to the Department of Public Safety, and I believe also show that there's a certain threshold of interest in the plate. And to my recollection, plate proposals have, since that provision was enacted, have typically included an exemption from the requirements of that provision.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think there's a vast difference in what plates used to cost and what they cost today because of the process. And so we could probably eliminate that, but besides that, does anybody know what the cost differential is producing those plates now to because I think we got to stick on stuff now, or we just stamp them or something. Anybody from MnDOT know that?
Doesn't appear so, Representative Earhart.
Excuse me?
It does not appear so at this point. Ms. McCormick, would you have a comment?
Oh, Mr. Burton. Well, I saw her coming. I didn't want her not to have an opportunity to speak to us.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee, Ms. McCormick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, Pat McCormick with Driver and Vehicle Services. The costs of the plate include the plate materials and also the labor that are involved, and we have a contract with MinCor. I don't have the specifics of that contract with me, but we have the cost, of course, is decided by the price we pay is decided by the legislature, but there are several costs that go into that because of the main cost is the material for the plate, and that rises and it rises and decreases. For the most part, it's been rising, and so that's where our contract lists specific costs that we have to pay for each plate in our contract.
Mr. Chairman, my question was, is there a new way of making plates in the last couple of years that has reduced the cost of them? So maybe that's why we don't charge them that extra fund that we used to do.
Ms. McCormick.
Mr. Chair and Representative Earhart, there are new ways to do the graphic design part of the plate, but in essence, they still use the same materials that we need, and we also have to pay for the stickers that go on the plates as well. And so those are all costs that go into the plate production.
Well, Mr. Chairman, do we know if we're breaking even on these things anymore or not? I suppose it depends on how many were sold, but actually the reason we were not doing these is because they weren't paying for themselves.
Ms. McCormick.
Mr. Chair and Representative Earhart, we try very hard to limit inventory and try to determine what number of plates are more popular than others so that we're not manufacturing plates that would just be sitting on the shelves. So we kind of look at what the market is and what we've been selling, and then we determine. But we do have to have plates at every deputy registrar's office, and the dealers also have plates for putting on cars for those that want it when they pick up a car at a dealership. So we have to have a certain amount of inventory in order to stock all of the offices that we have.
Thank you. I don't have any more.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? I guess we will need to go to... Well, I'm sorry. Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a comment. I do remember now the conversation that there were some concerns on this particular one because they were going to use a certain logo that was controversial, and so that's why we had a bigger dissent than usual on a particular plate. So just so members are aware of that, that's why we had conversation in the Senate.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Sanders.
Mr. Chair, since we, I don't think we quite had resolution on the, I think we did have resolution on the vote, but I think we want to go back since we had a discussion breakout. I'll make a motion to reconsider and let the committee re-vote on this section.
Thank you, Representative Sanders. Move to reconsider. With that, I will renew a motion to move section where did we go here? Section 3, thank you, 76.15 through 77.5 with amended line item 76.2 to reflect a fee of $10. All that, all those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, nay?
Nay.
No.
Okay, we will need to a show of hands, I guess, as we go. For the motion, all those in favor of the show of hands say aye. Opposed? Okay. That motion does not prevail. All right.
Senate standing up for its version.
All right. So then we'll move to the staying with license plates. We have two on the house side, the golf special plate, and this isn't a new plate, it just had to do with financing. That is R-74, and Representative Sanders, I believe that was your provision, so if you could speak to that, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, and members. This was my bill inserted in the House Transportation bill. This is not a new plate, as the chair said. There is similar language in the Senate side, and I spoke with Representative Peterson. It was a floor amendment. The intention was to have the language drafted the same as the House language, but what all this does is actually strike a date, and it actually allows the plate to be effective, more or less, for the place to begin to be made, and is for the fees to begin to be collected. So with that, I would just ask for member support in making this section workable, and would move the House language on Section 22.
And Representative Sanders, does that also have to include Section 55, I guess. Is that correct? Section 55 for an effective date?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
On R-127, correct, which would put the effective date of July 1st, 2015. So Representative Sanders moves to adopt Section 22, item 38.19 through 38.30, along with Section 55, line item 53.7 through 53.11. 12, thank you, 53.12. Any questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay?
No.
That motion does prevail. And lastly, members, we will go to start seeing motorcycles, also special plates. That is on R-70 on the House side. Section 21. So I would move Section 21, line items 37.26 through 38.18. Any questions or comments on that?
Mr. Chair. I'm just, does this plate collect money for any charitable cause, or is just an awareness, public education?
Mr. Burth?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dibble, yes, there is a $10 annual minimum donation on top of the plate fee. That's on 37.34 to 37.35. And that would go into the motorcycle safety fund.
And that, I understand, is the education side of the Start Seeing Motorcycles campaign and driver's education as well.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I have a question about this plate. Is this an actual plate that says Start Seeing Motorcycles on it, or is it supersized, or what is it that makes you start seeing motorcycles? Does anybody know what it looks like?
Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair, Representative Earhart, the plate has yet to be designed specifically. A mock-up was provided in a House Transportation Committee hearing, and the design requirements are established in the legislation, the proposed legislation, at 38.3 to 38.6. And part of that would include having the inscription start seeing motorcycles. And then there would be a consultation requirement that goes along with working out the rest of the design.
Mr. Chairman, are there any indications, Mr. Burris, of this is a larger sign so that you would see it? It would be big so you have it on your motorcycle and somebody would actually see you, or is it just...
Burris, do you know
what that is? Mr. Chair, Representative Earhart, this would be a standard plate on a typical passenger vehicle or a motorcycle. It could be a start seeing motorcycles special plate on a motorcycle. So the graphic would presumably be about the same size as other special plate graphics.
Any other questions or comments?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dibbs.
Maybe a question for council or others who might have more experience with these things. I see that representatives of a specific organization themselves will design the plate, and then the commissioner can approve that design. Is that common, or do we typically ask the commissioner or the agency itself to design
McCormick.
The plate and then and kind of reverse the roles and seek the council and consultation with the organization?
Ms. McCormick, I understand the question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Pat McCormick, DBS. Usually we have members from whatever organization is promoting the plate or has suggested the plate for enactment. We have an advisory group that would come in and provide us with some designs, and we try to work with them, and we... also have a law enforcement plate advisory committee because we have to make sure that law enforcement would be able to visibly see the plate and the numbers on the plate for safety reasons. And so we combine the groups together at times just to talk about it and try to work with the interest group to make sure that it meets all the qualifications that are required by statute for safety purposes.
Thank you, Ms. McCormick. Any other questions or comments? I will renew my motion to approve Section 21, line item 37.26 to 38.18. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay?
Nay.
No.
All right, let's try this again then by a show of hands. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay? All right, that motion does not prevail.
All right.
Okay, members, with that, we'll...
there lives.
We will be done for today's meeting. I will ask Mr. Chairman what the thoughts are for the upcoming day.
I'll figure it out.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm going to light a candle to the Holy Mother that targets our... developed this evening, and we'll have a very, very fruitful, productive discussion on the finance elements of the bill tomorrow.
Okay.
Failing that,
I'll figure this out.
Maybe we could. I feel as you do. Meeting for meeting's sake is not useful. Might take a look at some of what we've done today and try to carry on in the same vein, and or propose that maybe we just, I don't know, we'll see. I mean, again, I don't want to meet for meeting's sake, and I think we have a pretty good understanding of each other's bills, and so going through and talking about our respective bills, I don't know if that'll be super productive or not, because I think all that will do is lend itself to a bunch of posturing and speeches, and I think we're trying to keep this to be a fairly agreeable conference committee until we can figure out kind of the big finance pieces. So I'll give you a call a little later tonight.
All right. And I'm sure everyone understands that, so I appreciate that, Senator Dibble. With that, this meeting is adjourned.